Welcome back to Broken Fuse Podcast. It's episode 12. It's November the 6th today, so yeah, it's been kind of busy for the podcast. It's been kind of hectic. We do have a guest host today. We have Chris Lung here today.
Hi, guys.
Okay. And this is your host, Marcus. What have you been playing recently?
I've been playing StarCraft 2 on my computer and some Bad Company 2 on my computer as well.
Yeah, I've been playing a bit of GoldenEye on the Wii since it just came out this past week, and a bit of Chrono Trigger on my DS as well. It's recently picked that up again this week again. I haven't been playing it too often. It's a great classic 16-bit game from the SNES days. Yeah, I guess we'll jump into what we have for stories today. Yeah, our first topic today is Kinect is having problems with dark-skinned users, so yeah, it's not picking up some people with darker skin tones than people with a lighter skin. I think it's a big problem for Microsoft's new system, because of course gamers are all from different ethnicities and stuff, so yeah. Do you think,
I think, they should hurry up with their firmware and stuff, just do, a quick update and stuff.
Yeah, same here. It's gonna be an issue for, especially if you're not, of a fair skin type. So yeah, it's not too much to do for Microsoft, except suggest better lighting, perhaps, or better...
Yeah, just get, the light to your face.
That might work. I do not have a Kinect to really test that out, or to see if that makes a difference right now. I guess we'll move on to our next little thing, is Kinect was actually offered to the hands of Apple before it was moved on to Microsoft. The reason why Apple didn't get their hands on it officially is because of the contract that they gave to the people that made Kinect was a little too constricting, so they didn't want to go with Apple.
So I guess they don't want Apple to see the type of technology they're using and stuff?
No, they actually offered this technology to Apple before they did it to Microsoft. So, I guess the contract that Apple wanted to force on them was a little too constraining, so they moved their technology for Kinect somewhere else. Which, of course, Microsoft picked it up after, sometime after Apple didn't get the deal. So what do you think of Apple, of Kinect possibly being in the hands of Apple, but it didn't go through them?
If Kinect was in the hands of the Apple, they could do a lot of it, just their new products and stuff. Right now, Apple having their FaceTime and stuff, they could sort of incorporate some Kinect technology into some of their applications.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying about FaceTime. It'll be neat if they use something similar with gaming on their Macs, because besides what Steam is offering for the Mac OS, OS X, it's, the Mac isn't really known for gaming. It's known for its multimedia features, most visual arts people use it for Photoshop, InDesign, Adobe Illustrator, and that stuff that. Yeah.
The other end, that is just the hardware that's keeping everything good going. So if they want to play games, they have to install Windows on their Mac. So there'll be not really a point to play games on a Mac.
You
can just get a regular laptop or computer to do it.
Yeah, and definitely, it is possible to install a virtual machine on a Mac or a PC to install either Windows on your Mac OS computer or Mac OS on your Windows PC. It's doable, but it's not the best thing to do. Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next story, which is that NBA Elite 11 is being canceled, which I think it's not the best idea for the franchise. Although I know there's like other games are coming out for basketball, like NBA Jam and 2K, like the stuff from 2K Sports. It's there's less variety now, in my opinion, with one less game to choose from for basketball games.
Yeah, I find that story kind of a good thing because, like, who really needs, like, a couple of basketball games that are, like, the same year, but, like, not really much difference at all.
Yeah, like, right now, the only, like, right now, I think the two major competitors out there that I can remember off the top of my head right now is, like, NBA Jam, which is kind of like a remake of the original NBA Jam that was in arcades way back when, and the 2K, like, the one from 2K Sports right now, so it's not overly, you don't get too much of a choice right now, so, yeah, that's my take on it. Anything else you want to add to NBA 11 being canceled?
Right now, not really. Otherwise, like, graphic-wise, they can only get a bit better and stuff, and how, like, the physics in it.
Yeah, I guess that wraps it up for NBA Elite 11 being canceled. So our next topic is Gran Turismo 5 is making its debut at the NASCAR event, and November release is likely. Well, it's been delayed so many times that I think it's about time it's being released. So, especially after the how long it's been delayed, it should be out by now.
Well, I heard some sources says that the possibly release date could be November 30th, which is the way it came from an official Sony website.
Yeah, hopefully they actually release it this time and not push it back another few months, because I'm sure a lot of fans of racing games, especially simulators, are looking to get this pretty soon, especially after all the delays. It's not too good for the franchise if they keep on delaying it, especially if it ends up that GT6 gets released before GT5. Which would be pretty ironic.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have to release by the holiday season. After getting bashed so much now, since, like, delayed, like, how many times? Like, 5, right? Something like that?
It's getting up there, of course. It's kind of similar to what happened to Super Smash Bros. Brawl, but Brawl wasn't pushed back this many times, but there were some pretty annoyed fans with Smash Bros. Brawl when it got pushed back from Christmas release for, I think, December 2007. And it got pushed back to February 2008 and then pushed back again for March.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, a lot of the Wii owners that I personally know were kind of ticked off that it was pushed back several months, like, because, like, the second time they pushed it back was during February of 2008, and it was literally one or two weeks before it's supposed to come out, they pushed it back again. So, like, a lot of people that I knew were really pissed off, especially, like, including me, and I don't usually get ticked off about a game being pushed back, but it's like cutting it close if they're pushing it back like 2 or 3 weeks right before the release.
But do you think in the end it's gonna warp it, warp the wait, or no?
It kind of builds up a bit too much hype for the game itself because of all the delays and pushbacks although they did polish it off really well, it still ends up being that they overhyped the game itself. That's the problem that I have with so many delays for any game, is that it's only so much you can polish a game, and then afterwards it's just overhyping it, and the hype dies down, and nobody really wants to pick it up.
Well, I guess, but for GT5 to come out, I guess it should be really worth it, since they have to do so much improvements for delay and stuff.
Yeah, hopefully they have polished it all, like, any major bugs that'll crash it or anything is, or being stomped out, so it'll be a lot better than what it would have been without the several delays that were put in on GT5.
Yeah.
I guess this is pretty much it, since we have kind of covered delays and stuff for other games as well. Our next story is Reggie from Nintendo of America says that Nintendo does not have any plans right now for a DS phone hybrid. In my opinion, this is a good idea, because we all know what happened to N-Gage back in the day, like 6 or 7 years ago. It didn't really do successfully, and I don't think it's the best idea right now, even though there are rumors of a PSP phone that might come out later this year or sometime next year.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts on it is, I think it should be alright in this time of the era, I guess. Since, like, everyone's having their iPhone and having, like, applications to play with, and if PSP is going to make a phone, then it should have good games.
Yeah, there are several issues that I'm really worried about, console phone, because you have to worry about your battery life, because if you play extended sessions, that you will run out of batteries. I've had several friends that do own iPhones, and they do run out of batteries due to using applications and games pretty frequently. Like, I used to own a smartphone, and that was a problem when I used it a lot. I usually ran out of batteries before the end of the day, and I prefer to have a phone to use, so. Yeah, it might, and there's a saying that jack of all trades, master of none. So I'm hoping that they don't really go this direction at this moment, and really push it back if they, as far as they can, for now.
So I guess we should just keep phones and consoles by themselves then.
Yeah, currently, yes, but maybe, like, for now, yes. Maybe in, like, 10 years' time, when battery life can be extended a lot more, then it might be a viable option to combine the two devices into one. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll move on to our next topic, which is the top five Pokemon that top five favorite Pokemon that in Japan are actually Arceus, Darkrai, Deoxys, Pikachu, and Meowth. That's a recent poll that was done in Japan, and yeah, it's kind of I didn't think Meowth would actually make it up to the top five. Pikachu is kind of a obvious choice, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't expect Meowth on the top five as well.
Yeah, same here. I would have expected something like a Mew or another Pokemon to reach top five besides Meowth.
Yeah. And do you think, like, the survey was based on, like, the younger generations, I guess? We just introduced to a newer version of the Pokemon and stuff?
Yeah, perhaps. Like, well, some of us have grown up with the original ones, like Red and Blue, Ruby, Sapphire, would probably put some of the more classic ones up on there, like the legendary birds or the legendary dogs are in the Pokédex.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anything else on this?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next topic, which is Banjo-Kazooie might make an appearance from on the 3DS. As we know that this franchise is owned by Rare, which was owned by Nintendo until Microsoft bought it a couple of years back. I think this would be a great game to have on the 3DS, especially with the system having a 3D screen. It'll enhance some of the features that it has, as it is a 3D platformer of sorts.
Yeah, it should be like pretty good to see like how like the effects would be for the graphics.
Yeah. And on the topic of the 3DS, there has been a somewhat of a release date for the 3DS for Europe and North America, which is March 11th, 2011. I think it may be pushed back 2 days to the 13th, because March 11th is actually a Friday, and if you look back to the recent releases of all the iterations of the DS, like DS, DS Lite, DSi, the Wii, and the GameCube as well, they were all released on Sundays, actually. And March 11th is not a Sunday, it's actually a Friday. And I think they may push it back to the 13th, because the 13th of March next year is Sunday.
Well, I think, like, they should do something more about the 3D screen stuff, since, like, recently, some technology for 3D is, like, you don't have to be a certain distance or angle to see the effects happening. But for the 3DS, you have to be, like, certain distance away and looking at it at a right angle too, right?
Yeah, there is a certain sweet spot for the 3D effect. You can actually, they say it's about 8 to 14 inches away from the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can adjust a 3D slider as well. So it's a neat tech, knowing that we don't need 3D glasses to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but the thing you said about the 3D effect without the distance or the angle affecting it, it will increase the production costs for the system, so I don't think Nintendo will really go for it. Maybe for the next generation of the system, or like a 3DS Lite, or the successor to 3DS might have this kind of screen, because it is an increase in cost for the consumer and for Nintendo to make this system.
That is true.
Well, I'm hoping that Nintendo actually confirms this release date for sure in the next little while. I'm 100% sure on this release date at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly due to it's I've only found on one source, which is... I'd like to see a couple... Like, maybe two or three other sources pick up on the story and see if it... Yeah, even though it's printed on a magazine, I can't remember which magazine I pulled the image off. Like, I saw the image off of.
Yeah. Because right now, like, the news on 3DS is kind of quiet right now. Not really, like, headlining
stuff. Yeah. It hasn't made too many waves over here, besides being announced at E3 this year and... been traveling around, it's been kind of previewed at some conference. It's like some probably Comic Con and probably PAX will have it. I know we had it at Fan Expo in Toronto at the end of the summer, so yeah. I guess we'll move on to our next story, which is GoldenEye got released this week. It was kind of a reboot of the original N64 one. One of our podcasters, Alex, who can't make it today due to work, he says it's like a lot of the missions and stuff were changed over from the original GoldenEye. But yeah, I'll have him talk about the next time he's on, which I have no idea when he's going to be on right now. And yeah, Donkey Kong Country Returns makes its way into stores on November 21st, which is great because it's been a while since we've had a platformer that Donkey Kong has been in.
Yeah. Since, like, Donkey Kong was, like, so long ago, and then, like, right now it's finally coming back.
Yeah, I think it was probably on the N64 that the last Donkey Kong platform was around, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
On the topic of platformers and older games, what were some of your favorite games from generations gone by?
Oh, there's Star Fox, I guess. Star Fox was a pretty fun game on the Nintendo 64. And then there's always the same old Super Mario. On the Game Boy, or...
Yeah, some of my favorite old-school games were probably the original Red and Blue on the Game Boy, and yeah, Kid Icarus is definitely one of my, like, the ones that I go back to play on the Virtual Console once in a while.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of other games that I don't have that I'd like to play again, except the Virtual Console isn't really being updated as often as it should be. Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next little thing is, surprisingly, 20% of the peak period downloaded bandwidth in North America is actually used by Netflix, which is surprising, because most of us might think it would be like web browsing or something like torrents, BitTorrent or something like that.
Well, I guess it's probably due to the first free trial of Netflix, then that probably caused that increase in download, maybe?
Possibly, but I doubt it because most people would be paying for their subscriptions by now. There's only like a few people that would be on the free month, 1 month trial for within the whole of North America. Because nearly half of the bandwidth is used by like audio and video stream, like YouTube, Netflix, and like that kind of stuff. It's sitting at 45.7%. So it's taking a bit, like a huge chunk of the bandwidth at like peak times.
So do you think Netflix is worth getting?
In the States, yes, but in Canada, it's not really there yet for the movie selection. Although I'll say the quality of service is pretty good so far. I've gone through about a month and a half of it, and yeah, it's selection for Canada right now. It's not great, but wait another half a year or so, and I think there will be enough selection, movie and TV show selection to make it really worth the $8 a month.
So how often and how fast do they upload their videos or movies?
I'm not actually sure. I think it's probably a couple movies every week. They have a batch of movies that they clear the rights to and to upload to Netflix.
So I guess it should really take off after a year of service.
Yeah, after a year or so, I think it's going to be up to par with what they have or similar to what they have in the States for content-wise. Yeah, I guess that's it for the Netflix portion of our podcast. The next story we have is the creator of Mega Man, Keiji Inafune, leaves Capcom after 23 years. It's been a pretty good run for him at the Capcom. Hopefully he keeps on making great quality games. either as like a freelance video game creator or whatever, wherever he goes after leaving Capcom.
Do you think Mega Man will continue on with both creator?
It probably will. It has with games like Metroid has continued without its creator since the creator has passed away a couple years ago, if I remember correctly. And it isn't doing too badly, especially with the Prime Trilogy, and even with Metroid Other M, even though Metroid Other M has gotten kind of a mixed bag of reviews.
So do you think you may see, like, a Mega Man game coming soon in the future?
Possibly. I think they're probably going to do something with Mega Man, even though I think they released something recently for Mega Man, like maybe like a collection set or something. If I remember hearing something about Mega Man recently, not about the creator leaving Capcom, but I think I remember something in the past like couple months about a Mega Man game coming out recently or is going to come out. I guess that's it for Mega Man right now. The last thing we have for tonight is there's actually a trial going on, like a court case going on in the States with the video games on one side and the state of California on the other. They're trying to ban violent video games to be being sold to minors, which is 17 and under. They're in the state of California. They're at one point they were actually fining people like $1,000 per title that was sold to a minor.
Yeah.
Well, I think this might not be a great move because the game publishers do have a rating board, like the ESRB, with like ratings from like E for everyone, T for teen, M for mature, and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
The games industry does self-regulate, like, all these games.
So, yeah, I think, like, the government should just not be involved with this type of area. And since, like, well, first, like, if their kids want to buy a game for a rating after mature, they should just get their parents to buy it, I guess. It has to go through parents' money to get it first. So I think it should be, like, the parents should be aware of what their kids are playing. Of banning the game.
Yeah, I have a similar opinion that if the kids do want to play the violent video games, they are going to go through their parents to buy these games. Well, even though this law won't go into effect like as it's currently written, because it's very vague, because they haven't really defined quote unquote violent too well.
Yeah.
The senator for the state of California actually is willing to go back again with a narrower set of a definition for what they have for quote unquote violent video games, because right now all they're saying is like there is a difference between like there's violence like you see in like Call of Duty or Medal of Honor where you actually have a gun and like you're shooting at a humanoid character.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and there's like the difference between that and to the ultra-violent video games like Mad World where you're throwing like people into a jet engine to grind them up.
Or like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, like the ultra-violent video games or the games with explicit content like GTA 4.
I think, like, if it actually does happen, there should probably be, like, a petition against it by the gaming developers and, like, the people who actually play it.
Yeah, because I think this will affect all of us that do play these sorts of games because the publishers will be kind of afraid to publish these games because they're afraid that they won't sell because of the stores don't want to carry a game that they're scared of being fined if they sell it to a minor. So yeah, in the end, then we get affected at the other end where we don't have these quote-unquote games that are a little more mature. So I'm hoping that they don't really touch this and let the video game industry just self-regulate itself.
Because, like, what I see is, like, some games are targeted towards, like, the older age group. Since, like, only, like, those who's working could afford to buy these games and play them. Since, like, for younger generations, like, they have school and they don't have a job, so they can't really spend a lot of time on the game.
Yeah, and I think that this government shouldn't be doing the job of the parents. The parents should be able to look at a game and judge for themselves if it's appropriate for the kid. They aren't going to give, like, Call of Duty to, like, their 3-year-old kids. Kind of inappropriate. If they're, like, giving it to, like, the 14, 15-year-old kids, like, it's a little more reasonable to... It's like a 14-year-old playing Call of Duty than like a 3-year-old trying to play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Because right now, how they define it, it's a minor is someone 17 or younger. It's insane if they're... There should be like a more defined thing rule for a minor as a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, like, or 15-year-old. There's a difference between the maturity between these ages.
Yeah, and instead of, like, going after stuff like this, they should actually focus on, like, the actual crime and stuff.
Yeah, because there hasn't been any, like, huge correlation from, in my opinion at least, between playing violent video games and someone going out and, like, shooting people randomly. It's like... Because I've known, like most of us have played, like, games like Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, and stuff like that. And, like, even stuff like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter. We don't go out to the street and start beating up people or, like, pointing guns at people. It doesn't make sense. Like, there isn't really that much of a correlation between playing video games and going out and, like, doing violent acts. Even though it's quote-unquote... It's supposed to be an interactive media compared to television, radio, and movies.
Yeah, especially in movies as well, because we all know there's, like, movies that are very violent and stuff. And then when they come out on DVD, they don't have anything restricting from younger generations from buying it.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to regulate video games as, like, a sort of media, then... You might as well go ahead and regulate, like, because you can, like, for movies and theaters, you can bring your, like, 15-year-old kid into a 18A movie. You just have to bring them in, or somebody lets them in without knowingly doing so, or knowingly doing so and still letting them in.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna regulate and find these stores that are selling video games, you have to do the same thing with other sources of media like television and movies. Like, plus there's like the parental control feature for like television has it, and also video game consoles have the parental control feature where you can shut out violent video, like, mature video games to your kids. Can't play them. Even if they stick in the disc, they have to enter a code to open the, to play the software.
Uh-huh.
So, my opinion on is, parents that are out there, just filter what your kids play on their video game consoles.
Yeah, and the government just should not do anything about it. Just leave it as it is and just do other stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that wraps it up for the show notes, at least. Is there anything else you want to touch upon?
Not really.
Yeah, I guess this is the end of our 12th episode of Broken Fuse Podcast. We will see you in about 2 weeks' time. Later.
All right, bye.